Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in. Hey everyone, and welcome back to this week's solo show. Today, we're going to talk about how I got started in real estate. When I was a full-time graduate student, I invested in my first investment property, which was a single-family, two-bedroom house, having almost no savings, no income. I was a student, and only debt. I know it sounds cheesy, but it's true. And I will tell you exactly how I did it. I was in business school, getting my MBA, and during business school, lunchtime presentations would be offered that I would go to when they were of interest to me. And one day, a woman named Jessica Jackley spoke to us. She is the founder of Kiva.org. Kiva is an organization which funds microloans around the world. She started it in college, and it has grown very large. In fact, I loan money to Kiva every month to women in developing countries who need startup capital to fund their business ventures, like buying inventory for a store or buying tools for a farming project. It's pretty cool because the money eventually gets paid back and then relent out if you want to relent it out. So at this point, I've lent out thousands of dollars all over the world to different entrepreneurs in a myriad of countries. So at this talk, Jessica Jackley was telling us how she started up Kiva during her own college years. As a college student, she had no money, but guess what she did have? She had student loan money. Jessica told us the story of how she started this amazing organization using her student loans to fund the initial developments of the website and some other startup costs. And it was a lean startup model. So it wasn't like she had a huge budget. She was just getting a basic prototype together and testing it in the marketplace. And look where it is today. It's an amazing organization that is super successful and is helping entrepreneurs all over the world. And that was her main advice to us. Use your student loans to start up your business venture. So I took this piece of advice very seriously. And I left that room with a mission. I was going to figure out a way to use my student loan money for my first business venture. I did not know what that venture would be yet, but I walked out of there with a determination to follow Jessica's advice. This is a key point, folks. I walked out of there determined to find a way to use the knowledge I had gained and implement it. Why is this important? Here we are on a daily podcast. You're learning techniques and strategies every single day. But if you never take any of these learnings and implement them, there will be no progress made. It's as simple as that. And it's okay to let the information percolate and to take a lot of information in. But just please don't fall into the trap of getting really excited about everything that you're learning and never taking action. So what happened next? I found a friend and we decided we wanted to team up. That's another important point. It is said that real estate is a team sport. Find partners that will help fill in for your gaps. I teamed up with a friend and we decided we would do a manageable real estate project. We were both interested in real estate with a finite timeline. We wanted to flip a house. We knew there were tons of dilapidated houses in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, where we were, and we could see that there was value to be added. The first thing we did was we sought education. We went to an inexpensive boot camp, which attempted to upsell us on very expensive coaching. We were not at all tempted by the coaching, but we did take furious notes. And to their credit, there was solid information that, if implemented, could help someone do their first deal. If nothing else, going to that boot camp spurred us to get going on our goal. One of the things they taught us was the tactic of driving for dollars. It's exactly as it sounds. You drive around your neighborhood of interest and look for houses that need improving. We picked the Lawrenceville neighborhood of Pittsburgh. We knew that it was an up-and-coming, hip neighborhood with lots of potential for becoming nicer. It was also only a couple of miles from downtown Pittsburgh, so we really liked the location. One snowy afternoon, we drove every single street in Lawrenceville. I had my laptop out and was keeping track of addresses in a spreadsheet. What were we looking for? Houses that needed some obvious improvement in one way or another. What did we found? We found dozens and dozens of houses that were boarded up, burnt out, broken windows, you name it. There was nothing really in between. It was either houses that were basically complete trash or houses that looked fine. You might be wondering what was going through my head. To be honest, I was so intimidated. I was not a builder. I did not know how to take a boarded up house and make sure it was all working correctly. I certainly did not have any concept of how much all of that would cost. And I didn't have deep pockets to fund a large repair budget. We were really new to this game. And on top of that, I also knew that the hard part was still to come. Even if we found a house that we liked, we had to track down the owner and convince them to sell the house to us at a price that we liked and was a smart price to buy at. To be honest, the feeling I had as we drove the snowy streets of Lawrenceville was a sinking feeling. I realized in that moment that this was going to be way harder than I originally thought. This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-CAP.com, and sign up for our newsletter. Then, right as we were about to turn in for the day, we saw a house that had a for sale by owner sign. It also did not have any boarded up windows. It looked like the perfect cosmetic fixer, which is a house that doesn't have major structural or systemic issues and just needs kind of to be repainted, maybe change out fixtures, redo the kitchens and the bathrooms, but not having major building systems issues. So much to our surprise, we called the owner and he was happy to sell this two-bedroom house to us for $19,500. Yes, you heard me right, $19,500. Even with our little experience and total newbie status, we knew that was a good deal. I used my student loans to pay for my half of the property. We didn't even have to think about applying for a mortgage because it was such little money. That summer, we put another $10,000 into fixing up the property, as well as 2 months of our own labor or sweat equity. I was still going to school for evening classes, so I went to school and did homework at night, and I worked on the house during the day. It was an exhausting summer, to say the least. I remember being hot, sweaty, dusty, and tired in that house day after day. I remember making tons of mistakes, including trying to uncover and save a brick fireplace. We did not know what we were doing, but we did it anyways. We got help where we could, and we hired subs for things that we knew we needed help with, like drywalling and ceiling and putting in carpet. And we just figured it out one step at a time. To be honest, it worked out pretty well, and by the end of the summer, we had a rental property that we had improved significantly from when we had purchased it. Many people may be wondering, how did this deal turn out? Well, it has a good ending. We held it for 5 years, renting it out. paying ourselves back from the purchase and renovations plus more. And then we sold it for $100K after the market appreciated 5 years later. Overall, it was a fantastic first deal. There are a few lessons that I want to pull out for all of you. Number one, if you can, use your student loans as startup capital. It's really a great way to access capital when you're a student, when you don't have a W-2 and you can't get a mortgage. It's just a really wonderful source of capital that's readily available to you. Number two, your problem isn't a lack of resources, it's a lack of resourcefulness. This is a really important quote, and I would recommend that every single person write this down on a piece of paper and stick it up on their wall where they can look at it, because it's something to contemplate anytime you run into a problem, anytime you think about a goal that you want to achieve, but you don't know how. Meditate on that, consider it, journal about it, and make it part of your mindset to be resourceful, continuously more and more resourceful. The next point I want to put out there is take action, take action, take action. Because if you never take action, you'll never get started. And getting started is the hardest thing. It's not the only thing, but it's the hardest thing. And number four is fortune favors the bold. And the last thing is luck is at the intersection of opportunity and preparation. So we got lucky. It's true. We found this house that was only $19,500. And that was lucky. And we also were prepared. We had gone and sought education. We had implemented a tactic that we were taught. And we saw an opportunity, right? We would not have seen that opportunity if we had not gotten in the car on that snowy February day and drove every single street of Lawrenceville. So that's another important concept that I would just make an image of that, you know, an XY graph, and just make sure you put that onto your computer and just meditate on that, contemplate it very deeply, because honestly, it's such an important concept when it comes to achieving your goals. So there's one part of the story, which I haven't told yet, where I reflect on what I would have liked to do differently at this point. After we did this house, I took a full-time job. Once I was working, I stopped pursuing any kind of entrepreneurship. I was pretty exhausted from working full-time. I was living in Portland, Oregon, and I just kind of wanted to enjoy myself in my spare time. And that's okay. I was focused on other things. But due to this, my growth as an entrepreneur stopped entirely for a period of time. We had an opportunity to buy the house next door to that house that we flipped, also for a great deal. I ended up vetoing that idea because I couldn't wrap my mind around managing it from across the country. I had moved to Oregon by then, and I didn't know how I would manage a flip from across the country. And I also didn't try to figure out a way to do it. I wasn't willing to be resourceful and figure out how I could manage a flip from far away. Now, I'm much less intimidated by taking on a long-distance project, and while I don't know exactly how I would do it, I know I would feel like I could do it. So I have now removed that limiting belief, but it was a limiting belief that I had at the time. So the last important piece to this story is that if I was to go back, I would do whatever I could to continue to build on my first house renovation investment property experience and keep growing. If you just get started, but you don't keep going, then there's a stuntedness to your growth that will happen. And understanding the need to keep going is key to your success. A lot of people get started, but many fewer people keep going. And real achievement doesn't come with your first deal. It comes with time and experience and growth. So understand the nature of progress. Progress is made when you live in a growth mindset and continue to seek opportunities for learning and growth. It's simply not enough to do it once. You have to keep going. So that's the one thing that I would change for my first investment property experience. And that's all for today. Hope that helps, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.